psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm very much excited about this year, and I declare it my best year ever. May you also just declare 2024 your best year ever.
Amen.
Declare it.
Amen.
Amen. May your tongue, Psalms 45 verse 1, it says, my tongue is a pen, it's like a pen of a skillful writer. May your tongue write your destiny. May your tongue declare your 2024. And even after all that we've heard, when we began with the theme for this year, I believe your heart is stirred up. You are stirred up to speak things. And even as what we'll be sharing today, you will see that God is not limited to time. You know that usually when you talk about 2024 is my best year ever, then you look and think, but financially I'm still miles behind. On this, I'm still miles behind. On this, I'm still way, way down. On this, things are... God does not need a lot of time to do anything. He does not live within time. You know that the Bible says 1,000 years with the Lord is like a day? So he can do in a day what requires 1,000 years. So it means, instead of you thinking like, 2024 is my best year ever, but that thing will have to move, and I don't think in 2024, I don't think 2024 is enough. No, you mustn't think like that. When we're talking supernatural, it means that is above the natural. So our minds are used to think in the natural. But may the Lord transform our minds to think like God. Last week we shared with you that we have the mind of Christ. Do you think Christ would ever think about something and think, sure, it will take too long? No, because he knew the power of God. He knew the power of God, that God does not need time, God does not live within time, but God was there before time was. So it means he doesn't have to be limited to time, even in your own situation. Can we start with that John 16:13? Because I want you to be so much in fellowship with the Holy Spirit that when God wants to do things, you will be able to pick them from the Spirit of God. There was something I was sharing with the chairperson of the building committee yesterday. We had a building committee meeting. There was something that was like a struggle for us in some of the things that we're doing and all that. And I was just saying to him that day before yesterday, as I was praying, the Lord just gave me the solution on something. I wasn't praying for that thing. I was praying for something else. But then the Lord just ministered to me, and he told me, actually, it's perfect the way that it's set up. Because sometimes you find that we're so much focused, you're so much focused on your issue, and you don't have the mind of Christ. You don't say, Father, in this situation, what is your mind? You know that sometimes when you've got friends, you like asking them, what do you think, my friend? You know, I've got this thing, you know this thing, but what do you think? Don't you think you should say, Holy Spirit, what do you think? And then he tells us. Amen? Because he even knows the future. He is our counselor. I rather have a counselor who knows the future than a counselor who walks by sight. John 16:13 NLT says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit wants to tell you about the future. So tell your neighbor, there's no need to phone into the radio programs and tell them your birthday month for them to tell you about your future. Because they don't know your future. But the Holy Spirit, because he's God, he knows the future.
Amen.
He knows even those things that you think, this one, this one, this one, this one. This is really my thorn in the flesh. There's this thing even in my language where they say, when my eyes look at that person, they bleed. It's like, this is my troublesome person. God knows even about that. So may you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into all the future. May we allow him to reveal to us what he has in store for us for 2024. So you can only get that, like we said, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the Passion Translation. If you don't only focus in the natural realm, but if you also know that you are a spiritual being, you can also connect with God in the spiritual world. And then you are able to see in the spiritual before things are manifested in the natural. So Revelation 4, 1 to 2, the Passion Translation says, then suddenly, after I wrote down these messages, I saw a portal open into the heavenly realm. So it means there is something called the heavenly realm, as much as there is something called the earthly realm. The other time I was telling you about an example of a frog which can live naturally in water and naturally in land, and it's called an amphibian. You can live naturally in the natural, in the earthly realm, but you can live as natural in the spiritual realm. So he says, I saw the portal open into the heavenly realm, and the same trumpet voice I heard speaking with me at the beginning said, ascend into this realm. Ask your neighbor, how often do you ascend into the spiritual realm? Because you spend so much time in your worldly realm, and I don't know what people are doing for me. They are always blocking me, and this one, and this one, and this one. So when that comes, we need to come to you, ascend into the spiritual realm, and you will start seeing things differently. He said, I want to reveal to you what must happen after this. In other words, ascend into the spiritual realm. We want to show you the future. Instantly, I was taken into the spirit realm. Tell your neighbor, he was taken into the spirit realm. Ask your neighbor, don't you want to also go into the spirit realm? You see, we are so much earthly bound and earthly minded that we think things like, I'm also human, I've got flesh. How do you think it would be? It would sound like when you say, I'm a spirit being. I ascend into the spiritual realm. Even when things like is like this, you're seeing it like this in the natural. But I know something in the spiritual realm. I already know what will come after this. I'm not troubled. Because the Lord has revealed me to me about the future. It's like the thing that I was telling you, that we're talking with the chairperson, and he says, that was also actually my trouble, my problem. But now we're so much relaxed because we know the future.
Yeah.
You see, when you know the future, you relax, and yeah. You say, even if the devil... Actually, God, when you move with God, you are already ahead of times.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
When people are looking into the natural and seeing things now, you can see what will happen tomorrow. Because you've heard from our God who holds the future. Amos 3:7, Mr. MJ, let's go to Amos 3:7 in the NLT, New Living Translation. Amos 3:7. Because I want to show you that for God, actually, he has decided to say he wants to work through you. He wants to work through his servants. As much as he is sovereign, he could do anything without anybody questioning him, but he decides to say, I want to do things, noting that you are here on the earth. The Bible says, the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So that's why when God wants to do something on the earth, you know what he must do? Okay, let me ask you this question. If any country wants to do something or any dealings with the other country, what must they do? They must go to the embassy. You work through the embassy. You go, you work through your embassy in that other land. So, who do you think are the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven here on the earth? Just do this. You may not have an earthly title, but you are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. So when God wants to do things on the earth, he goes through the embassy. You remember when he wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? You remember the words, how can we do this without telling Abraham? You remember those words? How can we do this without telling Abraham? And those angels went to Abraham first and said, Abraham, we actually want to do this. And Abraham said, oh, you want to do it where? They said, here in Sodom and Gomorrah. Then Abraham was thinking, but that's in the earth. So let's talk. What if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah? Are you going to destroy it? Said, no, for the sake of 50, I will not destroy it. You see now, he had to go through the embassy. Now the ambassador was giving an advice. What if there are 30? What if there are 20? What if there are 10? He said, even for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And Abraham ended at 10. But there were not more than 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. So God had only to take out Lot and his family. And Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. You remember another one when God was angry with the children of Israel and he wanted to destroy them? You remember in the wilderness, they were very disobedient. God does not like disobedience. So he says to Moses, I think I'm tired of these people. I think we need to wipe them off and start afresh with you, Moses. He was talking to an ambassador. You know what Moses said? You should read your Bible. Huh? Spend more time in the Bible than in newspapers. So he says, I don't think that's a good idea. You said you were delivering them from Egypt to the promised land. Now, when people hear that you destroyed and finished them in the wilderness, they will say he was not able to take them to their promises and therefore he finished them. And then God said, you're right. That's not a good idea. Said, okay. So then, it means then, I would rather then say anybody above the age of 19, then those I will destroy, except Joshua and Caleb, because they've got a spirit like mine. But the rest will remain here because I can't tolerate disobedience. Moses thought, no, that's fine. Then it happened like that. Through the embassy. Amen? So even when God says, come, let us reason together, he acknowledges your ambassadorship. Amen? Because he's the one who made us ambassadors. We did not appoint ourselves. Do ambassadors appoint themselves to the lands that they are going to? They are appointed by their government, so their governments must honor them. So if God has appointed me as an ambassador, I've got his backing. And that's why even when he wants to do anything on the earth, what does he do, Mr. MJ? Amos 3:7 NLT.
Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plan to his servants, the prophets.
Say, oh, I didn't know that. I thought God is sovereign, he just does what he wants. He says, indeed, he is sovereign. But when he wants to do things, he first reveals his plans to his people. Amen. And therefore, if we ascend into this realm, if we ascend and we walk in the spirit, and we are able to pick up certain things before they happen in the natural, then we'll speak things that are still to come. If you look at Isaiah 54, let's go there. We read this one. Isaiah 54, 1 to 4. in the Message translation. It's also the basis for our dreaming big in 2024, even this supernatural growth. It's because Isaiah, when he was prophesying this, it was many, many years ago, but he was seeing into the future. Do you know that Isaiah even prophesied about the death of Jesus on the cross and about the fact that by his stripes we would be healed? And he was talking those things before they would come to pass, because he was ascending into the spiritual realm. So now listen to this. He says, so Mr. MJ, Message, Isaiah 54, 1 to 4.
Sing, barren woman who has never had a baby. Fill the air with song, you who have never experienced childbirth. You are ending up with far more children than all those childbearing women.
Who said that?
God says so.
Amen.
Okay. So I want you not to say, no, but the pastor is misleading you. So who said so?
God.
Okay. So if he says so, you can either believe him or you choose not to believe him. It's your choice. But he said so. Amen. Continue.
Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm thinking big. I'm believing big, even in 2024. I'm even having preparations for certain things. You see, when you already know this and this and this is coming, you start planning for it. You start preparing for it. So that when it comes, you are not taken off by surprise. You are not caught off guard. Continue.
Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You are going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family.
Amen.
You are going to take over the whole nations. You are going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
You are not going to be embarrassed.
Okay, look at your neighbor, says, don't be afraid.
Amen.
You are not going to be embarrassed. Because that's the first, you know, one of the fears that we have as human beings. Hey, what if it doesn't happen? I'll be embarrassed. He says, don't be afraid. You are not going to be embarrassed. Yes, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Continue.
Don't hold back. You are not going to come up short. You'll forget all about the humiliations of your youth.
So those things that, all the humiliations that you had, all the tears that you shed, you'll forget about them. Continue.
And the indignities of being a widow will fade from memory.
Amen. So I'm taking these promises even for myself as the Lord has laid it in my heart for 2024. And you say, but Pastor, we thought you were already a very successful person. We wish we were you. I'm still dreaming big.
Amen.
Amen. I'm still dreaming big.
Amen.
That's why, you know my slogan, we used to go, how are you, Pastor? I'm blessed and highly favored. Now, this year, I even add and recommended for more blessings.
Amen.
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 So I'm blessed and highly favored. That's already big.
Yeah.
But I'm also recommended for more blessings.
Amen.
And you go to Deuteronomy 28 and it says, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you.
Amen.
As you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. So when you are expecting trouble, when you are expecting you never know what will happen, I'm expecting favor.
Amen.
I'm expecting favor. And when you are favored, when you work with God, like I said when I began here, God does not need time to do anything. Okay? I'll take two examples for you from the Bible. Imagine somebody comes and say, because I'm telling you the things I was telling you, and now you're thinking about your 2024, you're thinking, hey, but for that one, I'm still way, way back. For it to happen in 2024, maybe if we make it 2027, because I'm way, way back. It's because you are thinking in the natural. So I'm going to take two examples for you where people were in dire situation today, and he says tomorrow, it will be completely different. It's almost like saying, so that you can understand it, we're going to read this story in the book of 2 Kings, Mr. MJ, 2 Kings chapter 6. It's the story of Elisha, and there was famine in Samaria. There was famine to such an extent that we are going to read. You will see what was happening now when they were besieged. So it's almost like, and then you will hear the man of God saying something and saying tomorrow. It's almost like some of you say today the rand is about 19 rands to a dollar today. So imagine I say tomorrow at this time the rand will be 1-to-1 with the dollar. You say, man of God, that cannot be. So let me give you this example. I didn't say that. I'm saying, imagine a person said. Okay, don't take us out of context. I'm just showing you the things that in our minds are impossible. But if God says it, who cares? It doesn't have to take 5, 10, 15 years. Look at this. So, Mr. MJ, read for us what the situation was in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24 to 29 NLT. And after that, I will take you to 2 Kings chapter 7, when the man of God now declares in the middle of that situation. But he doesn't say, in 6 months' time or in 2 years' time. He says tomorrow. Okay, let's start with the situation in 2 Kings chapter 6, 24 to 29, Mr. MJ.
Sometime later, however, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mustered his entire army and besieged Samaria. As a result, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver.
So imagine we say, there is no food, but a donkey's head would be 1,000 rand. Even if you don't enjoy it, you'll have to eat that one. But if you can't find a donkey's head,
and a cup of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver.
Okay, we say, okay, if you think you can't enjoy the donkey's head, the droppings of dove, the dove's dung, will be selling it, the 500 mils of dove's dung will be going for 1,500 rands. Continue. As if that's not enough, continue.
One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called to him, "Please help me, my lord the king." He answered, "If the Lord does not help you, what can I do? I have neither food from the threshing floor nor wine from the press to give you." But the king asked, "What is the matter?" She replied, "This woman said to me, 'Come on, let's eat your son today, then we'll eat my son tomorrow.' So we cooked my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, 'Oh, kill your son so we can eat him.' But she has hidden her son."
Just think of that. So we're eating the donkey's head. We're eating dove's dung. But also realize that's not enough. So these women, they agreed among themselves, okay, we'll have to start eating our children now. So we start with your son. So they cooked him. That's what that woman said, isn't it? She's reporting to the king. They cooked the son, ate. I don't know how he tasted like. But then, tomorrow, we agreed that we'll eat yours. Now she hid her son. Now she was bringing the case to the king. King, help us. Because this one is unfair. Now we agreed that we're going to eat her son also. And now she's hid her son. So you can see that's dire, isn't it? But then look in that same situation. Go to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Now, When the situation was like that, see what the man of God says and what God says, even when the situation is dire like that. Tell your neighbor, your situation is not as dire as this. Yeah, really. You're still eating food. It's not, even if you say I'm poor and my things and I can't pay this, at least you can't pay that, but you're still eating food. Not eating your children yet. But then, God speaks a word. Tell your neighbor, in every situation, God speaks a word. The only question is whether you are listening to that spiritual realm or you are so much focused on the natural that you can't see other things. So, Mr. MJ, 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 1.
Elisha replied, listen to this message from the Lord.
Okay, so I like Elisha. I like all the prophets of old because they didn't only walk in the natural. They did not only walk in their supernatural, in the natural world and understand the world. They also tapped into the heavenly realm. So he says, listen to this message from the Lord. What was the message?
This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow.
Oh, by this time, in 5 years' time. He says, by this time tomorrow. What will happen tomorrow? When people are eating each other's child today, what will happen tomorrow?
In the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver.
Oh, so it's far less than the donkey's head. What was the donkey's head? 8 pieces of silver. And the cup of dove's dung was 5 pieces of silver. Now, tomorrow. So today you're buying these things like this, but tomorrow. 5 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver. And then 10 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. They are far cheaper than the dove's dung. Far cheaper than the donkey's head. But that's a lot of food. So now, listen to reasonable people. They are always, tell your neighbor, they are always reasonable people who will tell you you must be realistic. When you are believing God, they will tell you you have to be realistic. So men of God, today we are eating this and it's so costly and people are even eating each other's child and you say tomorrow by this time. Now listen to the reasonable people of the day.
The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven.
Okay. So he looks at it, it's like what I told you, it's like almost if I say, tomorrow the rand will be 1-to-1 with the dollar. You will say, man of God, that cannot happen. So now it was a similar thinking. Now this man is thinking, even if the Lord were to open windows of heaven, such a thing cannot happen. So now when you meet such people, what do you do with them? When you are believing God for something, and somebody tells you you've got to be realistic, and they want to plant common sense into you. You need to tell them, common sense gets common results. I'm not after common results here. I want supernatural results.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yes, you can clap your hands. We must tell them that because they want common sense. So you get common results. But I'm not looking for common results. I'm looking for supernatural growth. I'm looking for supernatural increase. I'm looking for suddenly.
Amen.
Okay. So he says that couldn't happen even if the Lord opens windows of heaven. Now, if it were some of you, you were going to try and reason with him. Don't reason with them. Tell them what Elisha told them.
But Elisha replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it.
Okay. So he says you will be allowed at least to see it. But because you don't believe it, you won't get it. It's the same thing. We are all trusting God now. Eh? We're all believing for our 2024. And some of you are saying, ah, I know, Pastor. You will see us eating it. You will just see. And you will not have any of it. Because you don't believe it. God will never push it on you. You've got to believe it and say, I am declaring this. This is for me in 2024. And the Lord says, I will not come short. I will not be embarrassed. I'm trusting him.
Amen.
So that when some of us are enjoying it, you also will have your something to enjoy. Don't be like this man. So now he says, it will not happen. Okay, now, look at how God works. Because God, so when the man of God said that thing, he did not know how it will happen. And you don't have to know how the Lord will do it. Isn't it? Yeah. He created the heavens and the earth without your assistance. You remember the other time I told you, I think I like it when God only created man on day six after he has created everything. Because if he was about to create the sun and he wanted the sun, and then it would have been, man's idea would have been, hey, will it be a rechargeable? How are we going to, what about this? What about this? So he had to leave you out of the picture. And does everything. And when he has finished everything, then we come into the scene. So similarly, he can do anything. He doesn't need my advice. He is God. So now, look at how God works things behind the scene. Tell your neighbor, even when I'm here, God is working out things for me. He is working behind the scene. Because that was happening there. The man of God said that, but look at what. Now God tests their heart. There were four men, verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. They said, why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here. But with the famine in the city, we'll starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us leave, we so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. Okay, I like the attitude of this man. They reasoned that if we stay here, we are going to die because there is hunger here. If we go back to the city, we will die because there is hunger. If we go to the enemy's camp, there are two possibilities. If they let us live, we shall live. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. So there's nothing to lose. So I think this is for those of you who say, I don't want to give because I can't pay this. You're still struggling anyway. So you can as well struggle trusting God. Because the thing of saying, no, but if I do this and this, and as if things are working out now. So you're already in trouble anyway. That's what they were reasoning. They said, it doesn't help to try and stay here. But if we go there and we die, who would have died anyway? So there is no loss. But when we are there, the Lord will multiply. You see, every time you take a step of faith, the Lord will multiply your steps. Anytime you take a step of faith, the Lord will magnify your steps. Listen to what God did when they took the step. They took off and they wanted to go. So at twilight, they set out to the Aramean camp. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. Huh? So they came to the camp, only four men came to the camp where there were a lot of soldiers. They came there, no one was there. Why? For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried to one another. So they were hearing, you see the steps of four men that were leprous going to the enemy's camp. The Lord magnified them. And the armies of the enemy had all the noises and they said, oh, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and all the other armies. Let's just run for our lives. We must leave everything. You don't even have to take any food, anything. Let's just run. Say God is working out something. So some of you who read, you see the good part about having been in the spiritual realm. When things are working out, now you say, oh, now I see the miracle is in motion. Tell your neighbor, the miracle is in motion. The miracle is in motion. Amen. Yes, you can enjoy yourself. Because now, why do you think they are running away now? They want to leave even the food. God has already said something. So the miracle is in motion. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. So they ran and left everything, even donkeys, all that, even monies. Just continue to read. They left even silver and everything. Sure. Hey, now the inflation, the what's the depreciation now? Because there will be a lot of things now. So even silver will not mean much. Continue reading, Mr. MJ. Verse 8.
When the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Finally, they said to each other, "Aye, this is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are not sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace."
Why do you think they couldn't wait until morning? So they couldn't spend 2 days here eating it alone. Because this was not their miracle. Yeah. This was Elisha's miracle. Yeah. So they had, because tomorrow is coming, tell them. Yeah. They couldn't wait till morning because tomorrow was coming. Yeah, so people will tell you, hey, I just couldn't wait. Because your miracle is destined to come your way. Because God had already said something about tomorrow.
Amen.
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 So they went, they told the king. The king, you know, people who don't believe. The king said, I know it's a trap. You know, he knows that we are, the king of Aram or the king of Syria knows that we are hungry. And now they are putting a trap. So that we must come out, coming for food. And then they will get us. You can't go there. Until one man said, no, but let's test. Let's get just maybe one or two people go and take those horses and see what happens and that. Then later they realized, actually, this is the real miracle. Yeah. Actually, there is so much food now that we don't have to eat each other's child anymore. We don't have to eat dove's dung anymore. We don't have to eat the head of a donkey anymore. What should happen? So go to verse 16. Mr. MJ, 16.
Then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Aramean camp. So it was true that 6 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And 12 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised.
I like that. I like it when it happens just as the Lord has promised. So, can you tell your neighbor, just as the Lord has promised. That's powerful words, because if the Lord has promised, so when now when it's happening in the natural, it had already happened in the spiritual. So the Lord has already said it. Now some of you, you only believe it when you see it. You remember when Jesus talked to the fig tree? When he went to the fig tree and he thought there would be figs and there were only leaves. And he said, no man eat fruit from you here after forever. The Bible says, and his disciples had it. And the next day, when they were coming by, they saw that the fig tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered the words that the Lord spoke, because the Lord had said, no one eat fruit from you hereafter, forever. So Peter was thinking, hey, Lord, Just speak like that, and we're hearing it. Now, when he came the next day, he says, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So in other words, he was saying, it's working. But he's only seeing it now in the natural. Jesus knew about it all along. And the way Jesus responded, it shows that for him it was not anything surprising. He says, have faith in God. Assuredly I say unto you that whosoever shall say, not only to this fig tree, but whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and now doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So he says, it's not just about me. If you have the God kind of faith, you can speak into your mountains and they will obey you. Amen. Amen. Yes, when you feel like clapping, you clap. Amen. They will obey you. So similarly, even your own situation, your own mountains, you can speak to them and let them obey you. Use your tongue like a pen of a ready writer. Don't write things like the Sunday school drawing and that and everything just mixing up. Be skillful, even about your future, even about your destiny. So that man said, it will never happen. So let's see if indeed he will eat. Because now, I mean, there's a lot of food now. Do you think it's fair that others shouldn't eat? I mean, there's so much food now. So how do you think this man will not eat it? Because it's too much. But he can't eat it. He said he doesn't believe it. So there has to be a way. So read. So it's like everything work out as if it's planned there, that one, that one. It's like a chess game. When one piece is moving there, the other piece is getting into position on the other side. Now listen, verse 17.
The king appointed his officer to control the traffic at the gate.
This was the guy who said it will not happen. Yes. Now the king is appointing him to control the traffic at the gate. So something is happening here. Continue.
But he was knocked down and trampled to death as the people rushed out. So everything happened exactly as the man of God had predicted when the king came to his house.
Yeah. So he says... So this man, you see now how he was not going to eat it. So the king says, you are the main man here, my assistant. So you need to control the crowds because there's so much food. And then there was a stampede. He saw so much food, but then he was trampled to death and he did not eat it because he says he doesn't believe it. And continue.
The man of God had said to the king, by this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost 1 piece of silver. The king's officer had replied, no, that couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. And the man of God had said, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. And so it was, for the people trampled him to death at the gate.
Tell your neighbor that's tragic. And tell your neighbor that's what happens to people who don't believe. So rather be on the other side. Rather be caught believing God than caught doubting God. Amen. Rather spread out your faith and all your believing instincts for bigger things. Amen. Now, you say, Pastor, I hear all that, but it sounds too theoretical because I'm going through tough times. I'm going through serious challenges. Can I tell you? That's why you need faith to get out.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So exactly why you're going through those things, you won't get out the natural way. You need faith to get out. You need to step into the other realm so that you can get out. So there was a time when we're going to read this one. It's the second example in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Because I want to give you these two examples so that you see, God is not bound and limited to time, irrespective of how much your trouble is like. So they were told tomorrow by this time, and indeed tomorrow at that time. Because he's the master. Whatever he declares becomes. So I choose to believe him. So I want to give you this one, because now this one, the king of Israel was in trouble. There were three kings that were coming against them. So as much as in that one, in with the story of Elisha, we had them running away. The Arameans is the king of Syria. So other ones will say those of Mount Sei, king of Syria. So they were running away. But now here, there were three kings coming against King Jehoshaphat. It was the king of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and those of Mount Seir, or the Syrians. And they were coming against the king of Israel. Now, at that time, Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel. But I want to show you that when Jehoshaphat and his people were in trouble, they did not depend on their own strength. They depended on God. Now listen to this. 2 Chronicles 20 from verse 12 to 26. I like this prayer of King Jehoshaphat. And I think all of us, sometimes when you are trusting God, you know, like now we are in church, we've been speaking these things and all that, and it's almost like you nearly forgot about your problem. When you get out of here, you say, when I was in church, I had actually forgotten. And now, reality hits home now. No, actually you are here so that you can start seeing things the way God sees them. Amen. That even when you are faced with a challenge, you are able to do this. Look at Jehoshaphat, verse 12. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. So he sees that this is too big for me. He says, we don't know what to do. But we are looking to you for help. I like that. I like it when you don't know what to do, but your eyes are upon the Lord. You say, as a person, I don't know what to do. I've run out of ideas, but I haven't run out of faith. So tell your neighbor, you might have run out of ideas, but you haven't run out of faith. Yeah. So, he says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We're looking unto you for help. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And as I know, yes, I know, the future and life is worth a living just because he lives. Tell your neighbor, I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And he is my Lord. Amen. That is my courage. Amen. So now he says, our eyes are on you. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives and children. So here, everybody, you have to pray now. All of you are seeking God now. So you need to have sometimes, even in your families, have time, prayer time. Okay? Even with your little ones. Teach them. Teach them prayer. Don't pray too long when you are with the children. You still have another one that you must pray as an adult. With the children, take about 5 to 10 minutes. Pick up a nice Bible story. Pray with them for 2 minutes. Train them. But then that's not your prayer. You still have another one. You are an adult. So here they were with their little ones, their wives and everybody. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattiah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says." I like it. These people, they always said what the Lord said. Some of you keep on telling us what the world is saying. But we are not interested in what the world is saying. Tell us what the Lord says. What did the Lord say? "Don't be afraid." Hey, those are common words. "Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." You know, sometimes we panic because we look at a battle, you look at a challenge, and you look at your strength, and you realize you are outnumbered. So when you are outnumbered, then you should be like Jehoshaphat to say, "We are outnumbered, but our eyes are on you. We're looking for you for help, to you for help. We know on our own we cannot make it. We know it's not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit, O God. We are trusting you." So, verse 16 again tomorrow. Tell your neighbor, verse 16 again tomorrow. Hey, I like tomorrow. He says, "Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight." You see how God does things? He says, "But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you." Imagine you're going to face the armies that the king of Judah was afraid of. And then he says, "But you will not even need to fight." What do you think the scientists and the scholars would have said to them? Be realistic. Use common sense. And common sense begets common results. So if you're looking for anything supernatural, if you're looking for anything extraordinary, you cannot think common sense. So he says, take up your position. You don't even need to fight. Stand still and watch the Lord doing it. He is with you. "Oh, people of Judah and Jerusalem, don't be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Look, just by receiving the word from God, now they are worshiping the Lord as if they've already won the victory. It's like now I'm sharing this thing with you, and your spirit is already geared up. It's already as if you have already have it. Amen. You are already positioned differently. So now they were worshiping the Lord as if it's already done. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korath stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you will stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed." Amen. Believe in the Lord your God and you will stand firm. Believe in his prophets as they give you the word and you will succeed. Amen. After consulting the people, the king appointed, look what the king is going to do. This is stupidity in the eyes of the world. Now you're going to fight real physical battle. But now the king appointed, Mr. MJ, what did the king appoint?
Singers. Mm.
So now the king appoints Miss MJ and the team and you say to the king, be realistic. We are not going for church service. Do you think hallelujah? Continue. He appoints singers.
The The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army.
Ah, is that the right strategy? Huh? That's not the right strategy. When you're going to war and you're facing a real battle, hallelujah. Okay? So the strategy is put the soldiers at the back, let the singers go in front. Why? No, because they were told you don't even have to fight. So whether you are a soldier or not a soldier, it makes no difference because we're not going to fight anyway. Amen.
Amen.
And then the singers were in front. Let's go.
Singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor.
Amen. Mm.
This is what they sang.
Mm.
Give thanks to the Lord. His love endureth forever.
Hey, it's like, he deserves the best. He deserves the best. The best. He deserves the best. Think you were having that big trouble and the devil thought you would be meditating upon that problem. And you keep on saying, Lord. You say, Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Can we sing it?
You're worthy to be praised. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You deserve the best.
It means now before me, I'm not seeing problems, I'm seeing
Lord. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You deserve the best.
So when others are looking at their problems and magnifying their problems, we keep on saying,
Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You deserve the best.
It's like Paul and Silas in prison, being imprisoned and fastened at midnight as they started singing praise to the Lord.
Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Lord, you're worthy.
And those shackles are coming off. And all those prison doors are opening up.
Worthy to be praised. You deserve the best.
That's the power of praise and worship. As you are praising and worshiping the Lord, the Lord is working behind the scenes. Either I have a victory that way, rather than facing my problems, let me face the Lord, and the Lord faces my problems. Me. Amen. So look at what happens here. Now they put the MJs and the team in front.
Lord, your way.
And the skeptics are saying, what are those guys doing? They must be reasonable.
Worthy to be praised. You deserve the best.
The skeptics say, but you've got to be realistic.
Lord, you're worthy to be praised.
I know it works.
Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You deserve the best.
So, Mr. MJ, when they began to sing, verse 20, what happened? We also begin singing here. So, let's hear what they began singing.
At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves.
So as you say,
Lord, your way.
So all those people who were plotting against you, who were making things, Now they start fighting with each other as you pray in your kitchen and start, Lord, your way be to praise. Lord, your way be to be praised. Lord, your way be to be praised. You deserve the best. So as we start singing, wherever you are, as you start praising and worshiping the Lord is confusing your enemies. So the enemies started fighting with each other. Because the Lord says, you won't need to fight this one. So those of Mount Say, the Moabites and Ammonites, they ganged together against those of Mount Say. They destroyed and finished the Syrians. When they finished those ones, now, the two of them now started fighting each other. They finished each other. Yeah. Now, the people of God are coming. They were telling you what to fight. Yeah. And good that the soldiers are not in front because they say, Lord, your way to be praised. Lord, your way. That's what we do before the service is over. We're going to that. And that, as the Lord is confusing our enemies, all those things that were standing against us, all those walls of Jacob, they have been barricaded against us. We keep on saying, Lord, your way. Lord, your way be to be praised. Lord, your way be to be praised. You deserve the best. So as they destroyed each other, the children of Israel, as the king of Judah and the people, when they came there, they found that the enemies are finished. All we can do is to collect spoils. Amen? So it means instead of you spending a lot of time in the natural, thinking about what your enemies are doing to you, you need to ascend into this realm. You need to have that attitude of praise and worship. The attitude of looking at God as your only solution. The attitude of saying, Lord, I'm depending on you. I'm trusting in you. Amen? And you spend your time in prayer. So when you are in trouble like that, look at this advice, MJ, Job 5:8-9, Message Translation. This was the advice that was given to Job. Job, when he was going through all those challenges, lost everything he had. He didn't do anything wrong. The enemy asked to destroy him. Because the Bible says in Job chapter 1 that Job was a righteous man. And God was proud of Job. And God says, Satan, have you seen Job, my servant? He's such a righteous man. He's such a good man. And the devil says, no, he's doing that because all things work out well for him. Isn't it that you have formed a hedge around him, around his family, and around all that he has? If you could just destroy all that he has, he's not going to praise you anymore. He's only sticking with you because things are working out. So the devil was mistaken. He knew about some people, but not Job. You know, there are people who, when things are falling apart, they run away from God. So the devil thought it was those. No, it was Job. Job stood his ground. And then God said, okay, he is in your hand. You can go. But don't touch his body. So then Job went, destroyed all that. The Satan went and destroyed all that Job had. Destroyed even his children. Destroyed all his possessions. And then Job, because he didn't read Job chapter 1, he said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. You have read Job chapter 1. You can't speak like Job. Okay? You know what happened before verse 19. So, but Job thought it was God. He said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. Praise his holy name. Now, the devil is cruel. He goes back to God. God says, have you seen him? You moved me against him without cause, but he's still holding on. The devil says, oh, yeah, but if a person is what he has, he can still stand. Just his body. If you can strike him with sickness and make him sick, the Lord says, I'm not the one who gives sickness. It's in your hands. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. The Bible says, and Satan moved from there and he inflicted Job with boils and sores and all that. And Job, having moved from being such a successful and a prosperous man to somebody who was so sickly and out, not because he did anything wrong, but just because the enemy was looking for him. And he was holding on to his integrity. To an extent that when he did not curse God, because the devil, you remember the devil says he will curse you to your face. He started by saying if he loses everything, he will curse you to your face. He did not. He lost everything and he still stood. After that he says, but if his body can be touched, he will curse you to your face. And God says, no, you can go ahead and do what you want to do with him, but don't take his life. In other words, you can't kill him. There are boundaries. Devil, you can't just do what you want. He went, struck him. And then the devil realized this is not working. He says, okay, let me go to the wife. Let me tell the wife. Wife, tell your husband. Are you still holding on to this? Can't you just curse God and die? That's what the devil wanted from the beginning. He said he's going to curse you to your face. Now, when it didn't work with losing everything, when it didn't work with Job being attacked with sickness, now the wife comes in and says, can't you just curse God and die? It's not working. But that was indeed foolish. Because what do you gain by cursing God? Just to curse God and die. And then Job says, you speak like a foolish woman speaking to other fools. I think it was a bit. Now, that's not the main. That was just an aside. You know, like even when you're watching a program, they sometimes go commercial. That was going commercial. The story of the matter is this. Job chapter 5, verse 8 to 9, Message translation. Because I want to bring it close to you. That those of you who are going through difficult times, tough times, like Job was going through difficult times, tough times, and this advice from his friend, this one I like it. So tell us, Eliphaz.
If I were in your shoes, I'll go straight to God. I'll throw myself on the mercy of God. After all, he's famous for great and unexpected acts. There is no end to his surprises.
Hey, it was like Eliphaz attends my church. It was like he heard this message in 2024. So he says, if I were you, if I were in your shoes, I'll go straight to God, throw myself at the mercy of God. After all, he is famous for great and unexpected acts. Tell your neighbor, expect the unexpected in 2024. Believe the unbelievable in 2024. Because God is famous for great and unexpected acts. There is no end to his surprises. Hey, I'm looking for more surprises. Amen. Amen. I'm stirred up. My spirit is stirred up. I'm looking for more surprises. And I'm looking for those suddenlies. I'm looking for those tomorrows. Amen. Can maybe this is the right time for us to stand and thank God and you declare your future, you declare your destiny. You when your faith is stirred up like this, start telling God what you want to tell him about your 2024. So I think we're going to do that, but let's use that song, Lord Your Way. So you lead us with that song. Worship team, come to the fore. Lead us with that song. And as you're telling him that, when we are worshiping, please focus on God. Amen. Focus on God.